We're near the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, beginning the new Mishnah. The Mishnah begins with Eilu Dvarim Asurim Limchar Li'Oved Kochavim. Following things may not be sold to idolaters any time of the year, even not, you know, near their pagan festivals, due to the fact that these items were often used as offerings for idols. Therefore, it would be a problem of the prohibition of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshal, when we not place a stumbling block before a blind person, meaning enable a person to sin. Selling this idolater an item that he'll likely use for Avodah Zarah, for idol worship, is enabling him to sin. Therefore, it's prohibited. And here is the list. We have Itzro Valin, Venos Shuach. These terms will be defined in the Gemara. They're kind of fruits. Says the Mishnah, Upito Taros. As the Gemara will explain, this means that it's prohibited to sell them while they're still attached to their stems. Apparently, they are brought to the idol in that state, still attached to the stem. The Mishnah adds ulavona, as well as frankincense, that would often be brought as an offering for an idol. So that's prohibited. Vitarnagal halavan, and a white rooster, specifically a white rooster, was brought as an offering for an idol. So that's prohibited too. And you may not sell an idolater as a white rooster. But the Mishnah brings an opinion that draws a distinction here. Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says, Mutter limchalo tarnagol lovan beina tarnagolin. It will be permitted for a Jew to sell an idolater, a white rooster, along with other colored roosters. For the fact that he's also purchasing colored roosters indicates that he's not, you know, interested in particularly in buying something to serve his idol with. Therefore, in that case, it's permitted. The Mishnah then says, ubizman shehu bifnei atzmo, if he wants to sell the white rooster by itself, then kotea is etzbo mochalo. If he clips off the toe of the rooster, then he may sell it to him. Why? Because the idolaters will not bring an animal that's missing a limb to their idol. So you cut off the toe, then we could be assured that it won't be brought as an offering for the idol, and then it will be permitted. She continues, Ushar kolat varam, other items not listed here. The halacha is staman mutter. If the idolater did not specify, then it would be permitted to sell other things. Perushan aser. But if the idolater did specify, then even other items would be prohibited to sell to the idolater. And the Gemara will explain exactly what the Mishnah is saying here. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Meir, Omri Meir adds more items to the list. He says, Av dekel tov, also the high-quality date palm tree, v'chatzav, and the plant or growth called the chatzav, might be a fruit. We'll see in the Gemara, v'niklas, as well as niklas, which will also be defined in the Gemara. These things as well, says Rabbi Meir, asr limchalov dekacham, are prohibited to sell to idolaters. For these items as well, says Rabbi Meir, are often brought as offerings for idols. Continuing now to Yedalei Amin Aleph, the Gemara begins by defining mayitz trovalin. What is this first item in the Mishnah's list of Itzro Valin? The Gemara suggests that it's referring to Tornisa. And Rashi explains that Tornisa is one of the Erez trees discussed in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, that is the Shita, Erez tree, and that's what the Mishnah forbids from selling to the idolater. But the Gemara questions this reading. The Gemara says, Rav Minu, but contrast the suggested reading with the following brisa that is discussing the laws of Shemitah, of course, the year in which you must cease farming activities, and if food grows in the field, it has to be left as ownerless. The brisa says, Osifole, and they added to the list of things, you know, types of growth that would be subject to the laws of Shemitah, the following items. Yelechsin, which is a kind of fruit tree, v'itzrovalin. It mentions our item from our Mishnah, Yitzrovalin. Also, Mochsasin, as well as Ubinos Shuach, which is also an item mentioned in our Mishnah. The Gemara points out, V'isak edaitach Yitzrovalin Tornisa, if what we said above is correct. That Yitzrovalin means this Tornisa, this Shita Erez tree. The problem is, Tornisa Miyisa Bishvias is the Tornisa, you know, Shita Erez tree, subject to the laws of Shemitah. Ay, Vatanya, it says in a Braisa. The Braisa, so the text has changed to Vatanya. The Braisa says, Zeklal. This is the rule when it comes to the laws of Shemitah. Kol she yeshlo ikar. If the tree, the growth in question, has a root that endures, it lasts through the winter, then yeshlo shvias, then it's subject to the halachas of Shemitah. V'kol she ain lo ikar, but if it lacks such a root, the root doesn't last through the winter, ain lo shvias. Then the growth in question will not be subject to the laws of Shemitah. And we know that the Shita Erez tree, this Tornisa, lacks a root that lasts through the winter. So clearly, the Itzrovalin, which the Braisa above said is subject to Shemitah, cannot be the Tornisa, can't be this Shita Eres tree that was suggested above. Therefore, the Gemara suggests a new reading, Elam Rav Safra. Rather, Rav Safra explains that Shravelin refers to Peri de Arza, is referring to the fruit that comes from a different Erez type of tree, that is, acorns, or another possible translation is pine cones. Either way, this particular species does have a root that lasts through the winter, and therefore it fits with that teaching we had regarding the laws of Shemitah. The Gemara says, V'chein kiyasa Ravin am Rabbi Elazar, and similarly, when Ravin came to Balvel from Eretz Yisrael, he taught in the name of Rabbi Elazar that this Tzervalin refers to Peri the Arza, the fruit that grows on the Arza tree, the acorn, or the pine cone. The Mishnah also listed, Benos Shuach, these two cannot be sold to an idolater. The Gemara defines, Am Rabba Bar Brachon am Rabbi Yochanan. Benos Shuach refers to Te'ene Chivarasa. It's referring to white figs. Apparently, the white figs were popular, a choice to be offered for idols. Therefore, they can't be sold to idolaters. The Mishnah then mentioned the Betotoros, stems. Gemara explains, Am Rabba Brachon am Rabbi Yochanan. Bibitotoros Seyen Shanu. What they're teaching in the Mishnah is, you know, not a separate item. Rather, the Mishnah is qualifying that the products just cited, the pine cones or acorns and the white figs, are only prohibited to sell if they're still attached to their stems. For apparently, that's how they would be brought to the idol. The Mishnah also listed Lavona frankincense, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish. He clarifies it's specifically referring to Lavona Zaka, very high quality, pure frankincense, for only that type was brought as an offering for an idol. The Gemara brings a Braisa now. Tanit says in the Braisa, at Umikulan Mochen Lahen Chavila. It will be permitted to sell any of the items mentioned in the Mishnah if they were sold in bulk, in a big bundle. Because if they're being sold in bulk, then surely this customer is not, you know, purchasing all of this for personal use to bring for his idol. Rather, he is a middleman. He's going to resell it for a profit. Therefore, in that case, it's permitted. The Gemara explains, V'kama chavila, how much is considered in bulk. Parish Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira explained, Ein chavila pechusa mishlosha money. It would have to be an amount that weighs 3 mana. The Gemara wonders, though, why does the fact that presumably he's not going to use it for himself, rather he's going to turn around and sell it to somebody else, why does that make it permitted? Let's say, for example, if we're talking about frankincense. So somebody comes along, this idolater comes in the store requesting a very large quantity of the pure frankincense. Shouldn't we still be concerned that he's going to go ahead and, of course, sell it to somebody else, and then that second idolater will bring the frankincense as an offering to his idol? So seemingly it's still facilitating idol worship, should still be prohibited. Gemara answers, Amar Abaye. Abaye answers with the fundamental distinction. He says, when it comes to the prohibition we're dealing with here, of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, do not place a stumbling block before a blind person, meaning don't enable a person to sin, even if you're talking about an idolater, don't enable him to sin. The way it works is, alifnei mefaktinan, the scope of the prohibition is only, you know, one step away. Alifnei delifnei lo mefaktinan. But if it's twice removed, like in our case, where the concern is that after person A will purchase it, he will then provide this, it'll be a stumbling block for person B. That's already outside of the scope of the prohibition. Therefore, it's not of any concern that maybe the middleman will turn around and sell to somebody else who will bring it as an idol. That already is not included in the prohibition. Over Tosfos to Tetzvav Amud Beis, that's a very important distinction here, that we would not say this limitation if we're talking about a Jewish middleman. And that is because a Jew, of course, is commanded in the mitzvah not to place a stumbling block before another person. So if the wholesaler would provide a Jewish middleman with material that he will then in turn likely provide to somebody else, which would be a stumbling block for that other person, well then it turns out the original person, the wholesaler, put a stumbling block before the middleman, i.e. he enabled him to violate the prohibition of placing a stumbling block before somebody else. So that case would be prohibited, Tosfos says. The Mishnah mentioned another problematic item is a white rooster, very often brought as an offering for an idol, therefore a Jew may not sell that to an idolater. The Gemara draws a distinction here. I'm Rabbi Yonah, I'm Rabbi Zera, I'm Rav Zvid. Rabbi Yonah, in the name of Rabbi Zera, in the name of Rav Zvid, or V'yikad, the master, or those that teach it, that Amar Rabbi Yonah, Amar Rabbi Zera, that it didn't go back further to Rav Zvid, he just quoted from Rabbi Zera, taught as follows. If an idolater showed up at the marketplace requesting Tarnagol Lami, who here has a rooster to sell, just said rooster, he didn't specify white rooster, In that case, mutter limchol tarnagol lavan. If the Jewish merchant happens to have a white rooster in stock, he can sell that to this customer. But if tarnagol lavan lemi, if he had requested specifically a white rooster, then aser limchol tarnagol lavan. In that case, the Mishnah is saying the Jew would not be allowed to provide to sell the white rooster to him because of the strong likelihood here that he specifically wants a white rooster to bring that for his idol. Gemara questions Rabbi Yonah's teaching from our Mishnah Tanan. In our Mishnah, we learn the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, "Et mocher hu lo tarnagol lavan beina tarnagolim." It's permitted the Jew to sell an idolater a white rooster if he's selling it along with other colored roosters. The Gemara first analyzes this ruling and asks, what exactly is the case here? Rabbi Yehuda allows the sale. If we're referring to a situation where this idolater walked into the marketplace specifically requesting a white rooster, well then Rabbi Yehuda's ruling wouldn't make sense. For surely in that situation, even if the Jew throws in other roosters, colored ones, it wouldn't make it permitted. For clearly this idolater is interested in the white rooster. So we have to be concerned that why does he want a white rooster? Probably because he wants to offer it to his idol. So surely Rabbi Yehuda is not referring to that situation. Says the Gemara, El Alav, so must be the Ka'amar Tarnagol Lami, Tarnagol Lami. That the idolater walked into the marketplace, simply requested a rooster, didn't specify a white one. And now here's the point. Via Filuachi, nevertheless, even though the idolater did not specifically request a white rooster. Lirab Yehuda, Beina Tarnagolin in, if he sold him white rooster along with other colored roosters, then yes, it's permitted. Bifnei Atzma lo. But if he wants to sell him the white rooster by itself, Rabbi Yehuda clearly implies that would be prohibited. And the Gemara adds, Ulatarakama, as far as the first opinion of the Mishnah, first opinion is saying, Afilu Beina Tarnagolin nami lo. Even if he includes the white rooster along with other colored roosters, even though, again, the idolater didn't specifically request a white rooster, still it's prohibited. If this is the reading of the Mishnah, it's totally against Rabbi Yonah's teaching. Rabbi Yonah was suggesting that if he didn't specifically request a white rooster, then it's perfectly fine to sell him the white rooster. The Mishnah appears to be saying not so. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, says, Hachav Amayaskinan. He says, really, in this discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and the first opinion in our Mishnah, what are we dealing with? What's the case? Not where the idolater just simply said, who has a rooster? Rather, Kigon de Amar Zeh Vizeh. The idolater walked in and requested both types, a white one and a colored one. In that situation, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama have a dispute about whether it's okay to sell the idolater a white rooster along with at least one colored rooster. Even though the idolater did, also mention a white rooster, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's along with the colored rooster, then it's fine. Tanakama says, no. He mentioned the white rooster, so it's not fine. It doesn't matter that he's also purchasing a colored rooster. The point is, if you'd ask the opinions in the Mishnah, what if the idolater walked in and didn't mention a white rooster at all? The Gemara says, they could very well agree that in that case, it would be totally fine. There's no problem at all, since a white rooster was not mentioned whatsoever. The Gemara supports this reading from a Braisa, Taninam Yachi, so it says in the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says in the Braisa, Ey Masai, when is there a problem? When is it prohibited to sell an idolater a white rooster? Bizman Sha'amar Tarnagol Ze Lavan. It's only if he mentioned that he wants a white rooster. Aval Im Amar Ze Vize. But if he mentioned both types, a white and a colored one, then Mutter, that it's fine to sell him both types. So this clearly supports the suggested reading of Rav Nachman. And according to this reading, the Mishnah is not a problem for Rabbi Yonah's distinction above. The Braisa continues and says, Vafilu Amar Tarnagol Zeh. Even in a case where an idolater does specifically request a white rooster, there are situations where it would be permitted for the Jew to sell him that white rooster. For example, if Ovid Kochavim She'asa Mishta Libino, if this idolater, customer, is making a feast in honor of his son's wedding, O Shahayalo Chola B'toch Beso, or he has a sick person in his house, a family member is very ill, then in these situations, Mutter, the Jew, would be allowed to sell him the white rooster. Because in these situations, there's an alternative explanation as to why he specifically wants a white rooster. In the case of the feast for his son's wedding, he simply wants a nice white rooster. It's a nice thing to serve by the meal. And if he has a sick person in the home, then the white rooster was believed to have specific medicinal properties. So that's why we can assume he's purchasing it. So in these cases, it would be permitted. However, the Gemara questions this specific case where the idolater is having a feast in honor of his son's wedding. From the Mishnah, we learned on Ches Siman Aleph. It's changed to Vatnat because it's a Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah regarding the general rabbinic decree against the commerce with idolaters when they're observing some pagan festival. The Mishnah taught us that aside from the communal festivals where this prohibition would apply, you could also have situations where the idolater is having like a personal festival. And so it would be a problem in those cases too. For example, Ovid Kocham Shiasa Mishta Libino. If the idolater in question is making a wedding feast for his son, the Mishnah says the rabbinic prohibition against commerce, selling him something, would apply, albeit in a more limited fashion. The Mishnah says, Eino asur ala osa hayom v'osa ish b'levad. It would only apply to the actual person who's hosting the event, and only on the day of the event. When the Gemara points out, osa hayom v'osa ish mia asur, the Mishnah is saying that the rabbinic prohibition against commerce would apply with this person, on the day of the wedding at least. And so how could the earlier Brisa permit selling this person a white rooster? Shouldn't we have the concern of the general rabbinic decree that, you know, there might be idolatrous sacrifices at the event, and so this could be enabling that idolatrous sacrifice, so it should be prohibited under that general rabbinic decree, especially since the white rooster in particular is something that was used for idolatrous sacrifices. The Gemara answers, there are two different kinds of feasts that could be held in honor of a wedding. As far as the actual, you know, wedding feast, it's true, it would be prohibited due to the possibility, the concern that maybe he's going to use the white rooster for an idolatrous sacrifice at that event. As far as the Brisa, we learned, Amar of Yitzchak Bar of Meshar, Shia B'Tavzig. The Brisa above is referring to not the wedding itself, but more of like a minor feast that is held to celebrate the son's marriage. But it's more of like a minor social event. It's not the full wedding. Therefore, there's no presumption that idolatrous sacrifices will be brought at this event. And that's why, again, since we have a different explanation as to why he wants a white rooster simply because it's, you know, high quality food to serve. Therefore, it would be permitted in that case. That's what the Brisa is saying. The Gemara again challenges Rabbi Yonah's teaching from another part of our Mishnah. Tonight we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Ushar kol advarim," other items other than the items listed where there's a particular concern that those things were often brought for idols. By everything else, said the Mishnah, staman mutter, as long as the idolater didn't specify, then it would be permitted to sell other things, upeirushin aser. But if the idolater did specify, then it would be problematic, it would be prohibited to sell even other things. And the question is, my staman or my pirushin, what exactly is the Mishnah saying here? What is this case where the idolater didn't specify, and what's the case where he did specify? The Gemara says, ilema stama dekam rachiti chivarasa. If you suggest that, let's say, for example, we're talking about wheat, which is not something that there's any particular reason to believe that it'll be brought as an idolatrous sacrifice. And so maybe you'll say the Mishnah means that if an idolater comes in and just mentions that he would like some white wheat, but he doesn't say anything about, you know, using it for an idolatrous sacrifice, in that case, the Mishnah would be saying it's permitted to sell him that, and Pirushan, the case where he specifies, maybe the Mishnah by that means the Ka'amar la'avodas kochavim. The idolater says explicitly, I want to purchase this to serve my idol with it. The Mishnah says in that case it would be prohibited. The Gemara says, turning to Amud Beis, this can't be what the Mishnah means. For if that's what it was saying, lo staman tzricha lemeimer de mizavninan, velo pirushan tzricha lemeimer de lo mizavninan. We wouldn't need either of these rulings. You don't need the case where he didn't mention anything about serving an idol, because, you know, obviously, why would it be a problem to sell some wheat? And it's also self-evident that if he tells us, if he announces, I'm going to use this for idolatry, of course, then it is a problem. So this whole section of the Mishnah would be superfluous. We wouldn't need it. So says the Gemara, Ella, right? There must be, what is the Mishnah saying here? Staman de ka'amar chiti. The non-specific case is referring to where the idolater walks in and simply requests wheat, without mentioning that he wants the best kind, you know, the white wheat. So in that case, there's no problem, of course. You could sell it to him, the Mishnah is saying. And Perusha, in the case where he specifies, it means the Ka'amra Chivarasa. All he specifies is that he would like white wheat, fine white wheat. The Mishnah teaches us something that indeed is a novelty. That is, that even though there's no particular trend, you know, reason to believe that idolaters will bring white wheat as an idolatrous sacrifice. However, once he starts being so specific that it has to be the best kind, we then start to suspect, we have to be concerned now, that maybe he wants the best because he's going to bring this as an idolatrous sacrifice. But of course, the status of an item like white wheat is not as stringent as something like a white rooster, which is something that the idolaters tend to bring for their idols. If so, as, you know, since the previous list has to be a step above, you know, more stringent, so mechlal, it implies then the tarnagol, that one of the items of the list above, let's say the white rooster, what is the Mishnah saying as far as those items? Afilu stama nami lo. Even if the idolater didn't mention that he wants the white one, it will still be prohibited to sell him a white rooster, which would be exactly not like Rabbi Yonah. The Gemara pushes back at this question. The Gemara says, Omri, they said in defense of Rabbi Yonah that liolam staman de ka'amar chitichi verasa pirushin de kamar liavodas kochavim. The Gemara reverts to the original suggested reading of this section of the Mishnah, that is, the Mishnah is simply telling us that if the idolater comes in, he says he wants white wheat, that's perfectly fine, he could sell to him. But if he says, he announces, I want the white wheat because I want it to serve my idol with, then that's prohibited. Now, we initially rejected this reading on the basis that, you know, what's the point of teaching us this? It's superfluous. Obviously, that's prohibited. The Gemara now says, you know, not so simple. For the Gemara explains, Upirushin, it's trichale. In fact, the Tana felt it necessary to teach this point that if he does say he's going to use the white wheat to serve his idol, then the Jew cannot sell to him. For if the Mishnah didn't say this, Sakat Daita Chamina, I might have said, might have occurred that Haigavra Lavla Voluskochavim Kabai. And maybe we say in reality he's not going to actually use this wheat to serve his idol with, because it's very uncommon. We never heard of such a thing that they bring wheat to their idol. So we don't believe him. So what is he saying? Then why is he talking about bringing it to his idol? The Gemara says maybe we would interpret that Elameva Kuda Avik Bavoduskochavim. This fellow is very enthusiastic, he's very attached to his idols, he's really into the idol worship, and he projects that feeling onto others. He assumes everybody loves to serve idols. Surely everybody is as enthusiastic about idol worship as me, and in that mindset, he reasons, I'm going to announce that yes, I'm buying this fine wheat to serve my idol with. He thinks, in order so that'll give me a good price, a good deal, because he'll connect with me, he'll see that I also like to serve idols. And so he, you know, makes up this thing, he's going to bring the wheat for his idol. But really, it's not true. And therefore, maybe I would think the Jew is allowed to sell to him. And therefore, Kamashbal and our Mishnah comes along, he teaches us not so. No, if he says he's going to serve it to his idol, then it would be prohibited. And so according to this reading, there's no longer any proof that where the idolater, in the case of the rooster, didn't even mention that he wants a white one, that there would be a problem there. We could say, like Rabbi Yonah, that there would not be a problem in that situation. The Gemara asks about other scenarios. Bayer of Ashi, Ravashi asked, what about the following case? Let's say the idolater walked in and said, Tarnagol lovan katua lemi. He requested, who has a white rooster whose toe has been clipped off? Mahu limcher lo tarnagol lovan shalim. What is the halacha? May a Jewish merchant sell him a whole intact white rooster? The question here is as follows. On the one hand, you could argue that since he included in his, you know, description of what he wants that it's missing a toe, so evidently he doesn't want it to bring as an offering to his idol. So maybe it should be fine. Odemor, maybe a rumi kamar. Maybe we have to suspect that this whole thing is a ruse. He is on purpose saying that he wants one without a toe in order so that the Jew will sell him the white rooster. Really, he wants the intact white rooster. He really wants it to serve his idol. And he is just deceptively saying this just so that the Jew will sell him the white rooster. So it would be prohibited. The Gemara asks about another case. The Gemara says, Im tim salomar hayarumi hu de kamarim. Let's assume that the answer to the previous question is that we have to assume maybe it's a ruse. Maybe the whole thing is a trick. He just wants to trick the Jew into selling it to him. And so it's prohibited in that case, you know, because like talk is cheap. He's saying he wants one without a toe. The question is, what if he came in initially requesting Tarnagol lovan lemi, Tarnagol lovan lemi? He was initially requesting a white rooster. Who can sell me a white rooster? But then, v'yavule shachar, they ended up giving him a black rooster. V'shakal, and he took that. So apparently he was happy with the black rooster. V'yavule adam, v'shakal. Then they gave him a red rooster, and he took that. Question is, Mahu limcher lalavin? What is the halacha? May the Jewish merchant now sell him a white rooster. Question here is, Miyam rinan kivin the avule shachar vishakal? Adam vishakal. Since he actually accepted the colored roosters, the black one and the red one, so he like passed the test. So clearly, lav lavulus kochavim kabay. Clearly, he doesn't really care. He doesn't really need a white rooster per se. He's not interested in bringing the rooster for his idol. Odilma rumi kamarim. Or maybe even in this situation, we say that he even took the step of actually buying a different rooster, a colored one, to trick us. It's all a trick in order so that we'll sell him the white rooster. And so it would be prohibited in this case. The Gemara says, Teku, the question stands. We don't have an answer to the question. Rimer and the Mishnah added some more items. The Gemara has a question now about one of the items Rimer added. Amr Leir of Chista Lavimi. Chista introduced this question to Avimi by first remarking that Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Avodas Kochavim, the Avram Avinu, at the tractate of Avodah Zarah that Avram Avinu was in possession of, had Arba Mea Pirkei Avin, had 400 prakim, 400 chapters, due to the vast variety of different methods of idol worship that existed in Avram Avinu's time. So it required a much larger mesecta to study all the different types of idol worship and discern each type and understand the halachic status of each type. Chista said, today, of course, we have a much more reduced mesecta of Avodah Zarah. V'anan chamisha t'nan consists of just 5 chapters. And yet, even though it's much smaller, much more digestible, v'lo yadina mai kamrinan, we don't know what they're saying. So Chista evidently had some question about halacha found in mesechtas of Avodah Zarah. So Avimi asked Rav Chista, my kashalach, what question do you have in mesechtas of Avodah Zarah? And Rav Chista answered, diktani. So my question is, so we learned in our Mishnah, namely Rimeir says in the Mishnah, af dekel tav chatzav v'niklas asr limchalov de kacham. Rimeir added 3 more items, including a dekel tav, a high quality date palm. So Chista's question was as follows: Dekel tav hudalom is avninan, ha dekel bishm is avninan. Is this to say that a superior date palm is prohibited to sell to an idolater, but we could sell him an inferior date palm? But seemingly that's not the halacha for viatnan. For we'll learn in the Mishnah on Yotesim and Beis, Mishnah there says ein mochel lahem b'machuber lekarka. The Mishnah categorically states we simply cannot sell idolaters anything that's attached to the ground. This goes under the prohibition of velosichanim, do not favor them. And a branch of this prohibition is not to give them chanoya bekarka, not to give them territory in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Chista wonders that really it shouldn't matter what the quality of the date palm is, regardless, it's attached to the ground, so it should be prohibited to sell to the idolater. Avimi answers Rav Chista's question, number 8. Avimi said to Rav Chista, my dekel tav. What does Rav Meir mean in the Mishnah about dekel tav? Peiros dekel tav. He says, you're right, he's not referring to the actual tree that's attached to the ground. Rather, he's referring to the fruit, the dates from that tree. So only the superior dates from the palm tree will be prohibited. Only those can be brought to an idol. V'cheinam Rafuna peiros dekel tav. And Rafuna said the same thing. It's referring to the fruit of the date palm, the dates. Gemara defines, the Gemara mentioned also chatzav, another plant of chatzav. The Gemara explains it's referring to kashba, which is either another variety of date, or it's referring to the special grass that Yeshua utilized to demarcate the different boundaries of the tribes when dividing Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara now explains niklas. What was this other item the Gemara mentioned of niklas? The Gemara says, Kiyasa Ravdimi Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef. Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He explained the name Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef. Niklas refers to koryate, which is a certain kind of fruit. It could be it's another type of date. The Gemara brings a conversation about this. Amrle Abaye l'Ravdimi, Abaye said to Ravdimi, Tanan Niklas. The Mishnah, it said this word Niklas, V'lo yadina mahu. We are unsure as to the interpretation of this word. V'yata amrt kuryate. And you tell us that it means kuryate, V'lo yadina mayan islan. I'm not sure how you have helped us, for I'm not familiar with what kuryate is either. Amrle Ravdimi responded, now I have helped you. For the Chiyazal Tosam, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, next time you have an opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael, Amrlu Niklas, if you would say to them, hey, what's Niklas? Vliyadi. They wouldn't know what you're referring to. However, Amrlu Kuryati, if you mention the term Kuryati to them, Vyadi, they will know what you're referring to. Vikomach Vilach, they'll be able to show you this is what Kuryati is. The next mission begins with a new halacha involving idolaters, and that is At makum shenagu limchar behema dakal yovdei kochavim, in a place where the local custom is to sell smaller animals like sheep or goats, point is animals that are not beasts of labor. If the custom is to sell those to idolaters, then mochur, we may sell them. But makum shenagu shalom limchar, in a place where the custom is not to sell smaller animals to idolaters, ain mochur. Then one must abide by that local custom. You can't sell the small animals to idolaters. As the Gemara will explain, this has to do with the possibility that the idolater will go and commit an act of bestiality with the small animal, and therefore this would be a prohibition on the part of the Jewish seller of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitin Michshol. He is placing a stumbling block before the idolater to transgress the prohibition of bestiality. But apparently, it's not like a full force halacha. It depends on the local custom, and the Gemara will explain that point further. The Mishnah continues, "Bekol makom ein mochin lahem behem magasa." As far as larger animals that are beasts of labor, whether it's an ox or a horse, animals that can do labor, those may not be sold to idolaters anywhere. And this prohibition, as the Gemara will explain tomorrow, has to do with the laws of Shabbos, specifically the halacha on Shabbos that says that a Jew's animal may not do malacha, may not do forbidden labor on Shabbos. And so if we would allow Jews to sell these animals to idolaters, they might also rent them or lend them to idolaters, in which case the Jew, the Gemara will conclude, still owns the animal. And then, of course, it's very likely the idolater will work the animal, have it do malach on Shabbos, and that would be a prohibition on the part of the Jew. So the Rabbanan said, you can't rent them or lend them out, you can't even sell them. The Mishnah adds, this would apply even by agalim usiyachim, even by calves or foals. Point is, even though they're very young, and shleimin or shvurin, whether they're intact, they're whole, healthy, or shvurin, even if they're broken, they can't really do any labor. Still, the Rabbanan made a blanket prohibition. The Mishnah brings another opinion here of Yehuda matir b'shvur. Yehuda, however, permits the sale of large animals if it's a shvur animal that's incapacitated. And the Mishnah brings another view here, ben b'seira matir b'sus. B'seira permits the sale of a horse to an idolater, and that is because, typically, in Masera's opinion, horse would not be used for an act that's considered a malacha on Shabbos. Primarily, the horse would be used for riding. A person would ride on that. Now, a person riding on a horse is not allowed on Shabbos, but not because it's an actual biblical form of malacha on Shabbos. Rather, it's a rabbinic prohibition. It's not, actual carrying, because chaynose satsmo, a living person, is technically, it's considered like he carries himself, so it's only prohibited on the rabbinic level. So being that we're not dealing with a full-blown malach at all, the decree would not apply in the case of a horse. So one could sell a horse to an idolater, according to Ben Becerra. Mishnah begins by considering the first halacha, the Mishnah, which was that as far as smaller animals, the Mishnah said it depends on local custom. The Gemara questions this. Remember, the Isura Leka Minhaga Udeka. You're telling me that this is not a full force halacha. It depends. Only if there's a custom to be stringent, then we may not sell the smaller animals to idolaters due to the concern of bestiality. That is, you're saying that if the local custom is to be lenient, to sell the smaller animals to idolaters, then it's fine. The Gemara asks, Rimini, but contrast this with the Mishnah that we'll learn on Chav Beis. It says, Ein mamidin behema befundako shalov de kochavim mipnei shechashudin la ravia. The Mishnah will state halacha that one may not leave his animal in the stable that belongs to an idolater. Let's see, he's staying at the inn of an idolater. He can't leave his animal in the stable there because the idolaters are suspect regarding the sin of bestiality. So it's the fnever. You're setting up a stumbling block. Therefore, it's prohibited. So the Mishnah seems to categorically prohibits setting up a situation which could lead to the idolater committing an act of bestiality. So this seems to contradict what our Mishnah says, that no, it's not a full isser, it's only if the local custom is to be stringent. So how do we reconcile these? The Gemara answers, Amar Rav. Rav said that makom sheitiru limchor, in a place where the custom is to permit the sale of the small animals to idolaters, hitiru liyachid. In fact, in such a place, it will also be permitted to leave the animal in seclusion with idolaters. The two go together. Makom she'osru liyachid. If it's a place where allowing one's animal to be in seclusion with an idolater is prohibited, osru limchar. then that would be an example of a place that our Mishnah refers to where one would not be able to sell an animal to an idolater either. That is, Rav is limiting the ruling of the Mishnah later in Chav Beis, and he's saying that it's not stating there a categorical prohibition. Rather, the Mishnah there is referring to a place where indeed the local idolaters are suspect of bestiality, and therefore a Jew can't leave his animal in seclusion with an idolater, nor sell his animal to an idolater. That is how Rav reconciles these Mishnayos. We're continuing to test Vavim and Aleph, where it presents a different approach. That is Rabbi Elazar says, no. And rather, af b'makom she'asru li'yached, even when there is a yichud problem, you have the problem that you can't leave the animal in seclusion with the idolater, leave it in the stable with the idolater. There are places, though, where still mutter limchar. In some places, it's still permitted to sell a small animal to an idolater. My time, why would that be allowed if we're worried about bestiality? The answer is, Ovid kochavim chas al behemto shelo teyaker. The simple answer is that if you're talking about selling the small animal to the idolater, well, now it belongs to him. Now he doesn't want to go and commit bestiality with it. It might injure the animal. It might make it sterile. That's why there are at least some places where, on the issue of selling the small animal to the idolater, we could be lenient. But Rabbi Elazar is saying that in all places, we're concerned about if the animal still belongs to the Jew and he's going to put that animal in seclusion with the idolater, then you'll always have a problem. That's how Rabbi Elazar separates the two issues. Now, as is clear from the Mishnah, there are places which don't want to rely on this argument that, well, if it belongs to the idolater, then he won't do it. Some places are still stringent, and they won't even allow the sale of the small animals. That's how Rabbi Elazar reconciles the Mishnayos. The Gemara mentions, V'af Rav Hadar Bei. Rav himself ultimately retracted from his original explanation that we saw above, and he ended up explaining just like Rabbi Elazar. We see that Rav ended up saying like Rabbi Elazar from the following quote, the Amar Rav Tachlifa, Amar Rav Shila, Amar Rav Imi, Mishmei the Rav, said the exact same argument as Rabbi Elazar said, namely, regarding the issue of selling a small animal to an idolater, we're not concerned, at least necessarily, for we could say that Ovi Kochavim Chas al Behemto Shelo Teyaker. If it's his animal, now it belongs to him, he's buying it, then we don't have to worry he's going to go do bestiality because then he could be harming his own property. That's why our Mishnah said that it depends on local custom. In some places, the custom is to permit the sale of small animals to idolaters.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD1. That's 855-275-7231.